Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Radio, welcome and good day to you wherever you are in the world. Spirit of Nigerian Radio is the Nigeria-centric platform designed to give positive Nigerian energy, positive Nigerian narratives, celebrating Nigerians in the diaspora. Nigerians have been shining light and they're flying the flag of Nigeria so high. We're bringing Nigerians in the diaspora up to speed day by day. We are the authentic source of Nigerian information. In partnership with Transforming, Uplifting, Reforming Nigeria, TURN, this is Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. We also transmit on live radio in Oyo State. You can get us on frequency 107.5 FM. My name is A.G. Ahmed, your host. On Doctor's Round, we bring our listeners evidence-based, up-to-date, and relatable health information from and by healthcare practitioners at the top of their game. As usual, we have a guest in the house, a reputable individual on this subject of discussion. And this is the program for the listeners, and we expect you to call in with your question at all time. What we're going to be talking about today is going to be introduced by LJ Daddy, our regular guest on this program. But let me tell you that we're focusing today on indigenous medical practices. tradition in medicine. The WHO World Health Organization consider this to be very important to the extent that there are strategies that have been put in place. The first was in 2002, when they had the traditional medicine strategy, 2002 to 2015. These have since been updated. And the goal is to be proactive on policies and means of implementing action plans to ensure the safe use and incorporation of traditional practices. Traditional medicine is recognized by WHO as an important and often underestimated part of the healthcare system. Whether you like it or not, it is being used by many indigenous people. Pre-colonially, we had our system in place. People live, people survive. And people are still living and people are still surviving. We know that there are instances where there have been complications. But today, we're going to be looking at all these aspects of traditional medicine. The WHO in particular is very supportive of its member states and encourages member states to take advantage of the potential contribution of traditional medicine to wellness, health, and to ensure that whatever treatment we give is people-centered. This is not only in Africa, but all over the world. Chinese medicine is gaining grounds all over the world. Other parts of the world, there are different types of medical practices. The question is, where is Nigeria in this space? To answer this is our guest. Let me introduce to you Dr. Bunmi Omoseyindemi. This is a real individual. The man obtained his Bachelor of Medicine and Bachelor of Surgery from University of Lagos and attended the Institute of African Studies in University of Ibadan, where he obtained a master's degree in African studies. He had attended courses and certificates in anthropological studies, looking at various aspects of anthropological perspective in global health. He worked as a medical officer at a general hospital, not only in Nigeria, but in the West Indies, in Trinidad and Tobago. He also did a number of other administrative professional work, such as being the medical director of the Global Medical Center between 1992 and 1996. Dr. Bunmi Omoseyindemi became a consultant to the Nigerian Natural Medicine Development Agency, Federal Ministry of Science and Technology, a position he held between 1998 and 2000. He was the chairman of the Lagos State Traditional Medicine Board between 2001 and 2015. During this period, the board made very significant strides. He's a member of various professional bodies representing Nigeria on West African stage and also within the World Health Organization. He's a member of the Expert Committee on Traditional Medicine to WHO from 2012 to date. He was a member of the Lagos State Primary Healthcare Board, the Lagos State Core Group on Ebola, and Chief Coordinator Lagos State Health Volunteer Scheme. Dr. Bunmi Omoseyindemi has done a number of things with regards to traditional medicine. I can go on and on and on, but let me stop here. You will find out who he is. Dr. Bunmi Omoseyindemi, welcome to Doctor's Round.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. I couldn't stop. I was tempted to stop. But let's have LJ Daddy. He has something to tell you. LJ Daddy, welcome to the show.
Hello, sir. Hello, doctor.
Hello.
My daughter is very different to the one I know. They say you do the white person doctor and you do the one of our culture. Thank you, sir. I think you are the person to help me. Sir, I grew up in the village. There was no hospital or doctor in the village. When people sick, they go to my grandfather. My grandfather, they call him Papi J. Anything sick, if you have fever, stomach problem, is Papi J. In fact, one time, I climb palm tree, I fall, I break my leg. It's Papi J that repair it for me. In the village, we use chewing stick. Our mouth is strong, our teeth are strong. Then different leaf or root for different problems. I think they are good. When I move to the city, some people are laughing at me. They say I'm bush, that I'm local. And I know, because I'm surprised. I go to the China shop. I also see they are selling different herbs and roots there and leaf. Then my friend in London, he said, there are fine shop that is selling things like this too. That in London, they even sell black soap. I no go lie, sir. I still use some of these herbs from my village. Sometimes I give them to my friend, Lukumo. But Liliana does not like it. One day the children see it and they are laughing at me. But I think they are helpful. So, sir, this is LJ Daddy. Please, can you tell me, is our native medicine bad? Please help me, sir. This is LJ Daddy.
Thank you so much, LJ Daddy.
Our medicines are not bad. Our problem is that because we have not been able to find a way to develop our indigenous knowledge and tap from the knowledge of our forefathers, that is why we are having so many health challenges. Our forefathers, if the medicine is bad, all of us will not be alive today. I used to challenge some of my colleagues, especially when it comes to the area of traditional bath attendants and all of that, because when you look at traditional medicine, it's just not one way. It is specialized. There are different specialties in traditional medicine. One is Aba, there are traditional psychiatrists, there are traditional bath attendants, there are traditional booth setters. These are the people that have been taking care of our healthcare system before the white people came to Africa to start setting up hospitals. So we should really appreciate what our forefathers have been doing in the past. It is our duty and responsibility as a new generation to find out what they have been doing that has been good. Because I know if they have been, all our traditional medicine is bad, then most people will have died. When you look at it, it's 85% of our, 80%, according to WHO, of our people are using one form of traditional medicine or the other. And our challenge in Africa is that because we fail to recognize the importance of indigenous knowledge and the knowledge of our forefathers, especially in the area of healthcare development. That is why we have this healthcare challenge. But when you look at it, we are a nation. We have many hospitals. When we don't have many doctors,
I'm sorry. And I started seeing a lot of things that we are not taught in medical school. And the shelf in the library, I've seen books written in 1932 on.
I have no regret knowing more about other aspects of medical care, anthropological perspective, archaeological perspective, And there are other spiritual perspectives that affects healthcare that we are not taught in medical school. And with that, I was able to talk to other people. And from then on, I decided to say, I'm going to follow this path. And I'm going to combine my orthodox medicine with traditional medicine. So that's why I have a holistic healthcare system.
Wow. You're the true poster boy for holistic. You're the true poster boy for holistic medicine.
Yeah.
Let's go back to this idea of health. What is health and what is well-being?
Okay.
When you talk about indigenous medicine, how do we define this?
Health is defined as the same way it has been defined by WHO, as a state of complete physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being, not mere absence of disease. And that's the same thing we have in indigenous people. When people see you, when you can see from our greetings, that people know that it's not when you only...
I think we're having some difficulty with transmission. I'm sure Dr. Omor Shendemi will be joining us very soon. We've just lost him to transmission. However, he has started by discussing how he got into traditional medicine, and he has made a case for how we can harmonize the goods and what's good in traditional medicine, how we can harmonize that with orthodox medicine. He told us about his international experience. There have been a lot of questions coming in from listeners. One of the questions relate to dosages, which is part of the confusion. How do you recognize which is the correct dose and to what extent? The dearth of information when it comes to evidence base, the reliance of traditional medicine on eminence, because my forefather used this, because my grandfather used this, as LJ Daddy told us, has been the case. I think Dr. has he joined us yet? He's joining us now in a few minutes. But these are the kind of things we see. You're still on Spirit of Nigerian Radio and we're on Life Radio, and we're talking about indigenous medical practices and how we can take advantage. Welcome, Dr. Omor Shendemi. Are you there? Are you with us? I can see him online, but I don't think he has joined us yet. Maybe I would ask him to unmute. Well, while we wait for him to join us, so today we're talking about traditional medicine. Call us with your questions. We're taking questions, and the number to call with your question, as always, is +234 705 320-1010. And if you're calling from Nigeria, just 0705-320-1010. Is Dr. Omor Shendemi with us yet? I don't know if he can hear us or is muted. I can see him, but I think he is muted. Anyway, we'll wait for him to join us. Maybe the gods are not to blame on this one. Tell you, what do you think? The girls are not to blame. All right. So we will take him back when he gets back here. If you have your question, just keep, I'm taking note of the questions. The questions are rolling in. There are questions on dosages. There is legal restriction. How do you regulate these individuals? Who do you problem? Lots of questions. I hope Dr. Omor Shendemi will join us very soon. We're talking about traditional theories. Oh, here he is. Are you there? Can you hear us? You're muted. Yes. Can you unmute yourself? I can see you.
Okay.
There you go.
You can hear me now.
Yeah, we can hear you. Thank you very much. We thought the gods and the spirit of our forefathers are trying to deny us that, but they never do it, right?
No, they will never do it. They will never do it.
They will never do it. Oshewo, that's what they will say.
As I was explaining, the traditional medicine put more emphasis on illness prevention and health promotion. So that is why in the villages and in some of those places, they have what they usually give children every Saturday to drink. Herbal preparation. These people have lived in there. So that is the essence of African traditional medicine. And that's the way they see health and illness.
You see,
and also, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, when you talk about giving people something to drink every Sunday, there are some practices that are really very interesting. I remember as a young kid growing up in Kaduna, and when we went home, we never did while we were growing up, but when we went home, my grandmother had something that she called Ogwefu.
Okay.
Basically, I have a dirty throat, and okay, I should be brushing my teeth very well, and she would bring something in the bottle, and some of it I understood was made from cow urine, and they want to force it. My parents would say no. So how do you delineate what is cure from what is helpful? What is dangerous? What is helpful?
Yes, thank you so much. That one will come through our research and understanding the reason why they are doing those things. And for now, because of the scientific way we have started doing things, we have been asking our traditional practitioners, we have been retraining them so that they can know different plants, so that they can know this plant is either harmful or not, and so that they can be able to measure. That's why we have that Agency for Development of Natural Medicine. That is why we have a Lagos State Traditional Medicine Board to regulate the practice, and that is why we have NAFDAC to regulate the product. But the point is that it is our responsibility as a younger generation and as scientists, people that have to look at what these people are doing and assist them in removing the harmful aspect. Because people are what they know. You cannot rule that one out. And they are because they believe they have been using it, it's been working for them. Even if it goes, something goes wrong, it's not their fault. They won't know that that's the cause. But if we come in as scientists and assist them in modifying this thing, then we'll be able to know that these things are good and these things are bad. And I know the practitioners are doing their best also to make sure they do what is right.
So you've defined for us what disease is actually a reflection of the orthodox or WHO definition of health.
Yeah.
What about disease? When you talk about disease disorder, does traditional or indigenous medicine see disease the same way, or there are other theories?
Yes, they have their own theories. And I believe that it can be related to the orthodox too. When the traditional practitioners, they classify illnesses into three, according to indigenous knowledge. Natural causes, preternatural, and supernatural. That is the way they see illness. Natural causes is that someone just sees something and he has diarrhea, blah, blah, blah. They know that it's because that person ate something. And that's why the person is having that health challenge. So they can easily manage those things. But if they are managing illness, because also they have illness duration of illness, that if this illness comes within 1 week, this man has malaria, within 1 week the malaria should go. This person is having diarrhea or vomiting, within the next 2-3 days, this one should go. This person is doing this or so. And if you have wound, they will say, okay, if you have a cut, this cut must go within so. But if it doesn't go that way, then they will say it's preternatural. Something else has come in into it. It is here that we can think that, oh, this thing has been, the wound has been infected, the wound has been, so they have another person, they remove that person too. The first one, natural one, is just for primary healthcare. Then the second one is like the secondary healthcare, and the preternatural one is just like the tertiary healthcare. The tertiary one, the third one, is that if someone falls asleep and he's dreaming, he has had a dream that he has eaten in his dream, and he woke up and he started having abdominal pain. Or the person has a dream that he was being chased in the dream, and he start having pain or something like that, then that's what they call supernatural. And that is where they would look at it, because there is need for us to separate health care and spirituality. How we manage health and the spiritual aspect. And because when you remember history of medicine also, it was the priests that were taking care of the people before they started to segregate all those things. What we have not been able to do on our own is to be able to do that same thing. We always clump everything together. It's not like that. When people have their challenge and they have been taking care of the person, they will talk it about it that this thing is supernatural. And then they will start using the spiritual aspect to manage it. So that is aspect of professionalness.
We're going to come back to the classification, the natural. What's the second one?
Preternatural. Then, other one is supernatural.
Okay. Thank you very much. On that note,
metaphysical.
We're going to take some music break now and come back later so that you can tell us some more about these courses and the custodian of our practices and how we can make it better. We're going to take a musical break now.
Englishman go say pile, Yoruba man go say jedi. Doctors wants to do something about it. Doctor must to give you capsule.
No solution.
Doctor must to give you tablets.
No solution.
Doctor must to give you mixture.
No solution.
Injection must enter your yash.
No solution.
Doctor carry you go theater.
No solution.
We take them knife slice your yash.
No solution.
I say solution day for African medicine. In 1 week, jedi go start to run away. We must to learn to respect our African medicine. Our doctors must to go to learn how to make research. But, them go there, release the day.
Same place.
Them go there, perambulate and them still there.
Same
place. The jedi.
Same place.
Malaria.
Same place.
Gonorrhea.
Same place.
And the syphilis.
Same place.
Them nothing do them.
Same
place. Me and they tell them, our medicine better.
Same
them get name for them.
Same
have all medicine.
Same
have all medicine.
Same
oh. My father, your father, African fathers must start to work at the age of 20. Comfort, success, riches are
all the fascinating, very good question for you there to buttress your point.
Yeah.
The fact that we've all had this before. What do you think about that, Dr. Moshe Ndemi?
No, that's a great one. That's what we have been saying. And the fellow, the prophet, has told us this for so many, how many years ago was the music playing? He has made the music over 30 years ago.
Okay.
And I think it is the time for us to wake up also and look forward and make sure we know what we are doing. Our forefathers have been stupid and they have never been stupid.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. Let me ask you this, sir. What is the traditional theory of causation of diseases? I want you to talk about that. You know, you talk about this idea, the classification, natural, preternatural, supernatural, this traditional theory, can you explain some more?
Yes, the point is that in natural causes, you go out, you eat something, because African believes that you can contact disease from what you eat, what you drink, polluted water, and so on and so forth. So if you just, maybe you just overeat something and you start running stool, that's natural cause, because they know it's what you have eaten that created that one. Then, if the thing is not going on well, it's not going on well, and because they have duration of illness, as I rightly said.
Yeah.
You said malaria, this malaria is supposed to go in 5 days. If it's not going, they will move it up to be a preternatural. As we always do, he not told us. When a patient medicine, things is not going the way we expected it, what do? We order investigation. From there, we refer the person to maybe a specialist. And that's about the same thing that we are seeing in African traditional medicine.
Can I just hold you on there? You see, what I struggle with is how you reconcile this theory with things like displeasure of the ancestral gods, the evil spirit, the black magic, possession by spirit. How do you reconcile all this with your Orthodox training? Because I'm struggling, to be candid with you. I'm struggling. Somebody has sleep apnea, they have REM space disorder, and they're waking up in the middle of the night, they're remembering their dream because of their anxiety. How do I reconcile that?
That's my struggle. I'm listening to
you. Yeah, that's my struggle. Help me out there. How did you do it?
Because of my background, I have been able to study theories and practice of African traditional medicine. And I've been able to do anthropological studies on issue of health. And I've been able to do comparison globally. So with this perspective, it's easier for me. Because all of us know that by the time you are managing a patient in primary health care, and the patient is not getting well, we refer them to secondary care. If the person is not doing well in the secondary care, we refer the person to tertiary care. That is the way the thing is classified in traditional medicine. There are practitioners that are just mere herbalists, all those ones selling. If the thing is not doing well, they have to refer you to the people that are the spiritual aspect. Our people believe in ancestors. They believe in all these things. It can happen. And all over the world also, it's because we have not been able to sit down and do proper research on them. That is why we are discussing them. That cannot be. The Indians have been able to do research on their own. The Chinese have been able to do research on their own. Even the Western world, where they are talking about magnetic influence, psycho-something influence, all other things, is because we have not been able to do enough research on our African traditional medicine. With that, if you have done a lot of research, you can be able to reconcile. Because these are things that I've seen in my little research. They will bring patients to the hospital. The people will tell you that, this patient, this thing is not going to be like this, so we have to take this person to this place. And they will take. I've seen cases where people want to take delivery, and they said the person must have, what they call it, cesarean section. The person, because I run the hospital, the person said, no, my child is not going to have a cesarean section. I said, okay. Before I start doing traditional medicine, I said, okay, take them to where you want to, but it's your clinic or you must sign. They signed, and before I know, the following day, they brought the baby. What did they do? They turn the baby. So there are certain aspects that we have to do a lot of work on and know why those things are there. Because without research, there cannot be development. All the things we are doing in Western medicine is based on years of research, based on their own belief system. But we have not been able to do research on our own belief system so that we can gather enough evidence.
You know what?
I think that's where we need to go.
You made a case. You made a case that traditional medicine has a place. And I cannot fault you for that. But let's come to this. What are the common diseases? Because I don't want listeners to go away having a wrong impression. There are things that can be done, and there are instances where there's a limit.
That cannot be done, sure.
Yes. Let me ask you, what are the common diseases that practitioners can deal with, and how successful are those, whatever intervention? What are the common diseases first?
The ones, because let me, as a member of the expert committee on traditional medicine in West Africa, we have been able to come and acknowledge that we have 6 priority diseases in sub-region that our people can easily manage using our herbal medicine. That research has been done on them across the West Africa, all the countries in West Africa, Mali, Senegal, Ivory Coast, Benin, all those countries, we have come together bringing in scientists, pharmacists, pharmacologists, anthropologists, botanists, and everybody we have been. And those 6 priority diseases are diabetes, hypertension, HIV, AIDS, tuberculosis, sickle cell, and malaria. But most of the research is lying on the tables. They are there. And our practitioners will retrain them on this so that the plant you pluck in Lagos or in Ghana will have the same properties as the one you have in Mali. We have done all across West Africa. Is there ready? There are certain areas that traditional medicine cannot do much, especially area of emergency. Like someone is bleeding inside, the traditional medicine cannot do that. Internal bleeding. Or someone needs operation concerning certain things.
traditional medicine cannot do it. There are so many things that orthodox medicine cannot do that traditional medicine are doing.
Hmm.
There are many. They are there.
Saying, just to see clarification, you are saying traditional medicine can effectively manage those six diseases.
Yes.
Diabetes, hypertension, HIV, tuberculosis, sickle cell, and malaria. How successful have they been? And how
Their data, they are on the website. If you go to West African Health Organization, look at their something, you will see there. Research has been done. It took us a long time to do all those research at the University of Science and Technology in Kuma, University of Ife, Obafemi Awolowo was involved, University of Lagos was involved, University of the University of Benin Republic was involved, and the University of Mali. All we brought, all of us usually have meetings every year on this issue, and they have done research. People like Professor Elu Joba, Professor Abayomi Foshofowura, they were part and parcel of the thing. So the things are there. They are there. I'm telling you this, they are there. We just need to pick it up, let some investor come, but will it fly? It won't fly. The moment we have, you can manage malaria. You can manage all these diseases. Big pharma will not make money. So we have to look at that issue. So that is why it is still lying down on the table. I usually query them, why are you doing this to our people?
Okay. We can come back to the specifics later.
Yeah.
Because success is measured by different ways. So we'll come back to it later. Let's come to the method of care. What methods do they use to diagnose these diseases? What kind of method? How do you come to the diagnosis?
Diagnosis is based on their experience, what they know within the community. But it is what we have been doing nowadays. Because out of opposition from Western doctors, because I have to make sure that we introduce our practitioners to the modern techniques. Because when a patient comes to you, I order them, we train them that you are must make your diagnosis based on tests. Let them go and do full blood pumps. Let them go and do the diabetic test. Let them go and do this and do that. Then they'll be managing hypertension. I used to ask them myself, how do you know that this person is hypertensive?
You got it.
They will tell you that they look at his eyes, the way he's breathing, the way he's doing this. I said, no. What we have to do is that we have to train them. Because ordinary people have sphygmomanias at home. So why can't we encourage these people to know how to use this sphygmomanias so that they can make proper diagnosis? It was a battle between myself and some of my colleagues against our orthodox practitioners in Lagos that these people cannot use. I said, no. So we took it to the house. Eventually, they are allowed to use it. And that one has been helping them in making proper diagnosis of their patients. Because they know that if this is the disease, if it's diabetes, this is what we are going to use. Because that's what they have been using from generation to generation. They know the plans. But to make the proper diagnosis, it is our duty and responsibility. As the Chinese have been doing, and as the Indians have been doing, to make sure that the people in Ayurveda, they undergo through all this modern training. The Chinese are doing the same thing. But we Africans, I don't know what's wrong with us. We're supposed to pick up the same thing. That's the only way we can help them. So instead of saying that, because they are taking care of their patients, and their patients are getting well. If all their patients are dying, they will not go back to them. Which means they know what they are doing. But it's our duty and responsibility to go and do research and find out how are they doing, what are they doing wrong, and the way we can assist them in doing what is right.
Fascinating. You're still listening to Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we're talking about indigenous medical practices. We're talking about etiological, causation, treatment, and how we can incorporate this form of practices into the national health care system. Our guest is Dr. Omar Shendeni. Who will better describe this? But the person who has spent a greater part of his life looking at the amalgamation, the coming together of orthodox medicine and traditional medicine. Moshe, you just said something very fascinating before that brief interlude. You indicated that these basically the traditional or indigenous medical practitioners have incorporated orthodox mode of diagnosis and monitoring of symptoms.
Yes.
Took blood sugar, took blood pressure.
Sure.
And I know that when we were talking, you also said that you introduced the use of X-ray. Did you say that?
Yes, those are for the brain center. You know, when you talk about traditional medicine, traditional medicine have different specialties. You have bone setters, you have traditional psychiatrists, you have the herbalists themselves, those one deals with that. Then you have this, the real spiritual people, they are there. Then the bone setter, the issue of bone setter came when I discovered that Nigerian life has been localized. Our life has been localized from what we used to know. Everybody now is Okada, 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 Okada. People are having fracture every time, just broken bones due to the accident from Okada. The Gobi has been filled up, and most people don't even have money. But the next place they go is the orthopedic bone setters. So, as part of traditional practitioners, what I did is that I reorganized them. I reintroduced things to them. I brought them to the board of traditional medicine so that we can teach them modern techniques. They can be able to know a little bit anatomy about what they are doing. We brought skeleton, we brought expert from Igbobi and so on, so to educate them. But we educate them that there is need for them instead of just feeling this is a place that is broken, this is a place that is needs to be managed. You know, they do guesswork sometimes. And so why don't you go and do X-ray? And you will know actual place where the fracture is. With that, they have been doing successfully. Same thing to the traditional birth attendants. Normally, what they will do is that they will put their man and start guessing the age of the baby. I introduce them to the ultrasound. You don't have to pay. It's your patient that will pay. You can easily know the position of the baby so that you can be able to know whether you have to refer the patient to the nearest general hospital. Because what we did in Lagos is that I made sure that the traditional birth attendants are brought to the board. We train them for 6 weeks on issue of simple anatomy, how the body system works, and all that. We did that. And after that, we send them to general hospital, very close to their local government, so that they can see the cases, different cases that come to the general hospital, the one they can refer, the one they cannot manage. It's going to be easier for them to. So we set up this thing. Then I introduce them to some of the ultrasound people around. Please, let these people be doing the ultrasound, because normally they will usually send them away. No, we don't want to allow from the government. No, these people are our people. It is our responsibility to lift them up. It is our responsibility to show them the proper direction of knowing how to do things. So with that, we have been able to reduce infant mortality in Lagos. Because instead of guesswork, this woman will know that this baby is transverse. This one is coming with a breach. This one is, so they can be able to know, because we have introduced modern things to them and it's working well. Their patients always go and do what they call every week, they do all this blood sampling. They do full blood count and also, so that you can know whether a patient is anemic or not. And all those ones have assisted them in their practice. And with that, with the part two, partnership for development, health transformation, they saw what we are doing in Lagos. Then they develop another curriculum for us on the training of traditional birth attendants so that they can become community birth attendants. And we have done that one. They have been trained at Lagos State College of Health Technology at Yaba, where they spend 6 months and they can have interaction, because most of them have never seen any four wall of these schools. They can easily have interaction with community health workers that have been trained there. They can have interaction with community lab scientists. They can have interaction with community pharmacists and so on. So that's what we have been trying to do. And that innovation has assisted us in bringing their status up.
So this is very fascinating. So you're not only practicing and saying doggedly, we're going to remain with this traditional practice, you are amalgamating all these two systems together. Let me ask you, sir, are there treatment guidelines?
Yes,
there's treatment guideline, and I've got to follow the guideline and compare my practice with the guideline. Are there treatment guidelines?
So we are doing it for the practitioners, the treatment guidelines, especially the TB and the bone setters, even the herbalists also.
So they have the guidelines. This is what you must do. This is what you must not do. So that is a part of the training we have given them. We can't just leave them in the community. If they are there, they just be doing what they like. So we decided to bring them so that we can lift them up. And from there, we can listen to the way they are practicing. We can't just put our felt needs on them. We have to sit, we sat down with them. What are your real needs? What are your challenges? Then we'll be able to talk to each other and understand what we are saying. From there, we are able to develop guidelines. This is your limitation. This is, you cannot take care of this patient. So, with the, especially the TBA, they know their limitation. If you have a primary patient, you must monitor the primary patient, and by the time it's due, you must send the patient to, there must be someone around you when you want to take delivery. If you have a breach, you must know what to do.
Who regulates these practices?
It's the board. Lagos State Traditional Medicine Board is set up by law, Health Sector Reform of 2006. Though the board was set up in 1980 by Alhaji Jakonde, when they said at the Amata Declaration that every nation must go back home to go and see how they can utilize their indigenous knowledge in managing their healthcare system. It was written black and white in the Amata Declaration of 1978 that nations must go back and utilize their indigenous knowledge in the healthcare system so that they can promote the health of their people. It was written there. So that's what informed Jakonde then to set up that board, despite opposition from our colleagues.
This has been a very interesting discussion, and we have very few minutes left. And I'd like us to go to legal ramification of all this thing we're talking about.
Okay.
There have been claims of traditional or indigenous doctors curing cancer, curing AIDS. What are the possible legal consequences of incorporating these claims and the practices into our national healthcare system? Any legal ramification?
The National Health Act of 2014 has recognized traditional medicine as part and parcel of our healthcare system. It's right there already. So it's left for the state to pick it up and modify what they're supposed to modify. WHO has been in Nigeria so many times to help us write the legal framework on how to do this. It's still lying in the National Assembly. Of recent, we constituted a committee on development of institutionalization of traditional medicine. Over a year now, we are still going up and down. So the way things are, so it's left for us to decide what we want to do. But those people, they are taking care of the patient, they will continue taking care of the patient. Unless you can do proper law, you can do something. Because people are there, people are dying, people need, in a country where you have only 30,000 doctors, when you have only 100,000 nurses, 200,000 patients, go and look at national health policy, the data is there. So it is our responsibility as people that are learned and well-lettered, especially in the healthcare field, to push this thing forward so that proper thing is done, so that our people can benefit from the indigenous knowledge of our people, and we can also benefit from it and use our knowledge, our exposure, Western exposure, to bring this thing back home so that we can decide and pick the one that is useful and discard the one that is harmful. That is the only way we can move forward.
You've done very well. There's a question here that I must ask you before we round up today. Somebody talk about dosage. They talk about traditional practice not being able to dose their medication. They give the dose anyway. Do you have any quick comment? That would be my last question.
It's not right. If you are talking about dosage, our forefathers are not stupid. In Yoruba, they will tell you one gas, one spoon, gear, all these things. They are there. Is we that are supposed to look at it. If we have not no dosage, none of us will have been alive. All of us will have been dead. So we have to stop all this thing, the propaganda from the big pharma, to discourage us from promoting our indigenous knowledge. It is when we do that, we can leave poverty. We can be able to create wealth, utilizing our indigenous medicinal plant, create employment for our people, where we have farmers. We have farmers that can be doing all those things. We have people that can design machines to produce all these drugs. We will create a lot of economy around it, as the Chinese are doing and as Indians are doing. I've been to China and I've been able to see there's a company that employs half a million people on their production of herbal medicine. Why are we running from it in Africa? We need to wake up and do what is wrong.
You're right. You're right. We need to wake up. And you said something. Our forefathers were not stupid. There are good things. There are not so good things. How do we
delineate
it? How do we take advantage of what is good? How do we amalgamate what is good in Western and what is good in Orthodox medicine? Dr. Omoyo Shengemi, thank you very much for your time. Unfortunately, we're at the end of this program again, but we'll be back next week. It is my pleasure to welcome you all to our program next week. We will be here as always. And on behalf of the entire crew, I'd like to thank the studio team. Toye, thank you very much for your time again. LJ Daddy, I will see you next week. And to every listeners, thank you, thank you. I'll see you. My name is AJ Ahmed. Have a great week ahead.
Thank you.
Hey. Englishman go say pile. Yoruba man go say jedi. Doctors wants to do something about it. Doctor must to give you capsule.
No solution.
Doctor must to give you tablets.
No solution.
Doctor must to give you mixture.
No solution.
Injection must enter your yash.
No solution.
Doctor carry you go theater.
No solution.
You take them knife slice your yash.
No solution.
I say solution day for African medicine. In 1 week, jedi go start to run away. We must to learn to respect our African medicine. Our doctors must to